Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with D and Z reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd?
Yes!
Email us today. Hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com and find us on our socials at Fade Route Podcast. Time to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
T-minus 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coming at you from the AO Studios. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we got a great show for you tonight. So we got Team Canada and Team USA are rolling in men's hockey. The NBA All-Star Game took place over the weekend, and Tyreek Hill will be heading to a new team when he's able to play. We'll begin today's show with breaking news. Players Union, the Major League Baseball Players Union, the head of that union, Tony Clark, has resigned. This is ahead of a CBA that's scheduled to expire in December. The reports are that there are allegations towards nepotism and to a scandal within the office, which may or may not include his sister-in-law. So, Z, what do you make of this story, and where do we go from here?
So, where to begin?
It's very, you know, it's interesting because he would seem like, let's be real, they're about to go into wartime, right?
Yes.
This is going to be a wartime labor negotiation. And it would seem that you would want Tony Clark to go to war with you, right? But is it that these things, these skeletons are out there and they're worried that this is going to play a role in the negotiations?
I think that they're trying to limit as many distractions as possible. Because not only do you have the situation with his sister-in-law, not only do you have allegations of nepotism because he hired his sister-in-law in 2023 and whatever relationship, inappropriate or otherwise, that came from that, that's immaterial. There were already allegations that Tony Clark was skimming off the top of a sports deal that they negotiated with the Major League Baseball Players Association. So you have corruption, you have nepotism, you have a lot of skeletons in this closet. This one was just the latest. And is this the one that would have taken him down? Probably not, if they were not on the precipice of a work stoppage. Now, you're replacing him with Bruce Meyer, who was his second in command. He just helped Tarek Skubal win his arbitration case. So, this guy's a shark. Like, we have already established that this guy can do the job, right? As an arbiter, as a negotiator, Bruce Meyer just got Tarek Skubal a lot of fucking money. So, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with in these negotiations. Akin to Tony Clark, akin to Donald Fear. This is not going to be easy. The timing is terrible. As pitchers and catchers just reported this week, and this is it. You know, this is, you know, for all I've been saying, and we've been talking about it, like, this is it for a while. I'm telling you, enjoy baseball while you can, because I have a really bad feeling about where these negotiations are going to go. They were contentious with Tony Clark. I don't know what they're going to be like with Bruce Meyer. Now, we know that the ownership camp is split. You have your Dodgers, Mets, who are just going to spend. And even then, there are levels to that because the Mets aren't spending with the Dodgers. Steve Cohen says he can. okay then. That's nice that you can do that. That's wonderful. And when you did that, you brought us an old Max Scherzer. You brought in an old Justin Verlander. And that didn't work out too well. So you can do it. That's wonderful that you can do that. And then you have the Yankees, who also could do that. But apparently, Hal Steinbrenner is one of the brokest owners in baseball, according to a poll.
Yep.
He's in there with the Cincinnati Reds.
Yep.
So
I don't know. What is the Steinbrenner business now? What are they into? I don't even know what they do.
I don't know. I mean, it was, you know, when Papa George was alive, it was shipping. And I don't know what it is now. I think it's the Yes Network. It's media. I really don't. I couldn't tell you what the Steinbrenner's primary business is. Then you have guys like the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Cincinnati Reds who are just like, yeah, I could spend like the Dodgers, but I'd be severely in the red. And at the end of the day, like, this is my business. And I don't want to operate that way. Like, I would like to have some black in my book. It would be nice. But there's the subdivision there. You have the players who just want to get paid. Manny Machado came out, said it. Bryce Harper said it. They love what the Dodgers are doing. Of course you are. Of course you do. Of course you do. Tell me what the guy who's a five-year major leaguer who isn't in the category that you're in, right? Tell me, you know, tell me what a Ryan McMahon thinks about this. A guy who's never going to get paid the way that Manny Machado is going to get paid, the way that, you know, Shohei Ohtani is going to get paid. Tell me what Jeff McNeil feels about this. A guy who's not even going to get paid what Ryan McMahon's going to get paid. You know, there are levels to this, and I think the longer it goes, it exposes the underbelly of it all, and I think that we are going to be in for a very long, very contentious fight, and ultimately it will end up without baseball. And Tony Clark, he's going to go, his name is going to be connected with this. Like, whether he wants it to be or not, based on getting out now, he's connected. He started it. Bruce Meyer's going to finish it. And you can't outrun this if you're Tony Clark.
Yeah, I mean, I think the issue comes down to, right, they want a salary cap, they want a salary cap floor. I think one of the things we've talked about in the show is that we don't think there'll be baseball next year. But even when it comes back, I don't think it's going to look anything like it is right now, right?
No,
you know, I would assume that there's going to be a lot of rules changes. I think there's going to be, you know, different stipulations about signing players and who can play where and things like that. The Tony Clark thing is bizarre to me because, like I said, it's like I would think he is the guy you'd want there in the war room with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, granted, these allegations have been out there for a while. The scandal's been out there for a while. He's being investigated. He's been being investigated for a while. So
yeah,
it's not like any of this stuff is new. It's just that, you know, I think it was a decision that's made. It's like, hey, man, like, we need all our ducks in a row for this thing. We can't have anybody pulling any cards against us. This is like a wartime thing. And I really truly believe that's why they sent him packing. They feel like they're better off without him than with him because of the things that are going on in his life. So I think this is actually going to be helpful for the players union.
Interesting. So with that, I mean, the lack of skeletons in the closet, the lack of leverage that the owners can use against him, agreed. But don't you think that they've also done their due diligence on Bruce Meyer? Like,
yes.
Don't know, you know.
I'm assuming he's clean.
We're under that assumption, but the longer this goes, the more investigators have time to kind of dig around.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to, you know, I think that is going to make this even more onerous, and I think that's going to make it even more toxic. Like, how do you...
Oof.
At this point, how can you do this without it being toxic? And I don't see a way, man. It's been going on for too long, and it's been too acrimonious. I think we're at the point of no return, and no matter what negotiation Bruce Meyer does, I think we're headed for this being the last baseball season for a while.
For sure, for sure.
Elevate your protein game with Clear Whey Protein Powder. Lactose-free, sugar-free, and refreshingly delicious. Perfect for a flavorful, protein-packed boost. That's Clear with a K. Go to clearprotein.com, enter promo code DNZ for 20% off any product. That's clearprotein.com. Clear with a K.
Now, moving over to the exciting things that happened over the weekend. The NBA All-Star Game took place, and it was actually kind of competitive. The NBA had a round-robin tournament, which consisted of three round-robin games and then a championship. You had Stripes, World, and Stars. Those are the three teams. The final game, the Stars won the final game with Anthony Edwards taking home the MVP. But an argument could be made for Kawhi and Wemby, who played extremely well in the little time that they had. So has the NBA solved its All-Star Game issue?
You can throw in Karl Anthony Towns, too, in his game. I think he scored 11 points or something like that.
Wow.
Has it solved...
12-minute games, right?
12-minute sprints. Yeah, they're sprints. But has this solved the problem? Of the All-Star Game, maybe. Like, the NBA, in my opinion, has so many problems, this doesn't even rank.
Oh, yeah. This is right.
It's like the Pro Bowl. Like, it doesn't rank. So, right. You know, in terms of putting on an entertaining show in a format that players want and that fans want to see, I think they finally cracked the code. Because it's been all about, you know, the international team versus the U.S.,
like, which the international team didn't win.
Right.
Any games. And then the last game, the Stars team was exhausted. The Stripes team was exhausted, and they couldn't even put up any fight whatsoever.
No.
And they got blowed out.
Exactly. So, and that's the problem with the sprints. Like, maybe All-Star Weekend, it's like maybe you expand it a little bit, play full games, where it's like that round robin aspect, and then that last day, that Sunday, is a standalone just for the championship game. Like, maybe. I don't know if that helps, but we're in the load management NBA. We're not in the sprint NBA. Like, these guys are not built for that, right? They're very athletic, very fast, but they're not cut out to be on Mike D'Antoni's Suns, right? The 7 seconds or less. I don't think that they're built for that. And the NBA doesn't run like that anymore. So it could be that they're onto something. With a couple tweaks, I think it could work. Now, what really helped is you're starting to rely on the young guys. Wemby, Cat, Anthony Edwards. Gone are the guys, or minimized are the guys like LeBron, who are just there to kind of like dick around. I'll play a couple minutes, and then I'll treat it like a joke, and then we'll be on our merry way. Like, these dudes were trying. Because think about what Adam Silver has done, right? The cash pot, the whole, like, nothing incentivized those guys to play. This group, maybe it's just a one-time deal, but this group seemed motivated to play. And it was actually wonderful. It was refreshing. And it's about damn time.
I hated the 12-minute sprints.
Yeah.
I'm not really a fan of that. I think you had certain players care this year. Not everybody cared, but Kawhi cared.
Yeah.
Kawhi put up 29 points in 12 minutes. He fucking cared. Yeah. But then he was exhausted. So, you know, I think there was some kind of pride aspect. But it just seemed like maybe all the talking has finally got to some people. You know, I think it should be out of respect. Respect your game. Like, this is the All-Star game. This is supposed to be a celebration of the first half of the season, a celebration of you. This is for the fans. Go out there, play hard. I'm not saying get hurt, but play hard. Make it look like you give a shit. Be nice. So I think you had enough people giving a shit about the game that played well. But the world didn't win, which was interesting. Because I think, and then the old heads kind of gave up in the last game. Like, they didn't play. So I still would like to see a game. Like, you know, I was watching old All-Star games, like Kevin Garnett in 2003, 2006 game. Those guys were playing, you know, and it wasn't chippy, but it was just like, you could tell guys didn't like, there's some guys didn't like each other.
Sure.
They didn't like each other. You could just tell they didn't like each other. And now it's like everybody loves everybody. Everybody loves everybody. Everybody's rooting everybody on. So the other thing I want to put into this, Z, and maybe this is a reason, maybe this is the changing of the guard. You know, because LeBron was there, but he was there as a reserve.
Right.
Right? And maybe that's changing the culture of everything. Because LeBron's been this kind of guy that's been laid back. Because if you remember, Dwayne Wade broke Kobe Bryant's nose in an All-Star game. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the way it used to be. Like, we're not going to just slouch around. You're going to score 150 points, 125, but that fourth quarter is going to be competitive.
Yeah.
While no matter how much we're down by, we're going to try and win. You know? So I'm wondering if that's going to be the change. I'm wondering if with LeBron leaving, Curry leaving, Durant leaving, that you're going to get the Wemby. Like, Wemby was playing hard.
Yeah.
Wemby was playing hard. Luka was, you know, kind of lazy, and so was Joker. But
Luka's always kind of like
that. I believe there's a switch there that if jolted the right way, they'd play,
yeah.
You know? And then whatever young kids are coming up from college or something to prove, I'm wondering if this is just an era of the NBA. This is something that is, because like, think about like when Michael Jordan was the face of the NBA. You had to play hard enough in the All-Star game. He was gonna pass you the ball. You weren't even gonna get the ball.
No.
You don't rebound, you don't play defense, you're not getting the ball. You know?
Well,
and
even,
so
even Kobe tried to do that when he called out LeBron for a 1v1 in the middle of the All-Star game.
He turned him down.
Punked him out.
Right.
Kobe Bryant publicly punked out LeBron
right.
James.
But that's what I'm trying to say is, like, I think there's going to be a changing of the guard within the next 2 years. So maybe you can get back to having a four-quarter or at least a 30-minute
right.
game that people can watch and care about and tune in for.
So what about this? Hang tight, because I know we did a three-team round-robin tournament. What if you somehow, and this will expand the number of All-Stars, which you may not dig, but you do an American Eastern Conference team, an American Western Conference team, call them Stars and Stripes like you did, have a World East and a World West, and guys might still be fresh.
Like, and I what? Just play a 30-minute?
And just play a tournament. Just play,
play a tournament.
Yeah, just play a tournament.
I just don't like,
and then
have
the winners at the end.
I just don't like the tournament idea. I don't need that. I'll take like I don't know, maybe if you really want to stick with the tournament, maybe instead of 12 minutes, maybe a 30-minute game. Mm-hmm. So two 30-minute games. So East versus West on one side, East versus West on one side, a 30-minute game, and then they come together. See, the problem is that second game is like, you know, people I can understand not wanting to get up for that or having pause in that.
Right.
But I do like the idea of an East and West, you know, world and star team. I just want people that want to play. I want people that want to be there and play. Like, if you don't want to play, then say you don't want to play. Okay. Don't show up and you don't get the credit for the All-Star. Like, that's the whole thing. It's like, I don't know what else to tell you. Like, come here and play. And if you don't want to play, don't play. It's okay if you don't play. You want to do like a skills competition or do something? You want to just take the weekend off? Take the weekend? That's on you. That's on your brand. That's on you. But well, whoever plays, I want you to play.
Right.
Or maybe how about a rookie team? Let the rookie team compete. You know?
That's not a bad idea because you have the rookies versus the second year players.
Like so have a rookie team, a second year team, a world team, and
that
a U.S.
team. Interesting.
So then the first years play the second years. The world plays the NBA, and then the winner of those games plays maybe on Sunday. So I have a Saturday game and a Sunday game.
I think that could back work. To back.
They love that shit.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you figure some of the old heads will be eliminated in the first game, so you figure it's the back-to-back. But the one thing that gives you pause about that
is like, just be honest with the coach. Coach, play me 5 minutes. I'll play hard for 5 minutes.
Right.
Play me the first quarter. I'll play hard the first quarter. Like, let's just be honest. Whatever you want to do, just don't jog up and down the court, throw shitty passes, shoot stupid shots. This isn't the Globetrotters. This is the NBA, and people paid a lot of money for this fucking ticket.
It's true. That's 100% right. The one thing is that it does kind of dilute who is an all-star. But, you know, at this in the era of the Pro Bowl where you have Shedeur Sanders as a Pro Bowler at a, you know, with the record that he had after multiple guys have pulled out or were injured, like you run the risk of that happening where you have a guy like, you know, Lauri Markkanen, a guy who's barely getting any burn with Utah. Well, that's a whole other story because the tank.
Isn't he their best player?
And he's not playing because they're tanking. But, you know, like, are you going to stick him out there kind of thing, even though his numbers don't seem to warrant? Or a guy like RJ Barrett, just because he's Canadian. Like, I need to fill this world roster. RJ, you, Rick Renner, and Altar.
Yeah, you don't want that. You don't want that.
Therein lies the problem with, I mean, it's a good idea in theory, but there are problems with all of this, right?
And NBA is all jacked up. It's all jacked up.
It needs to be fixed.
The NBA is receiving a lot of attention now since football is over and baseball is a few weeks away from starting. Most of the attention is being placed on tanking and load management. We have a Utah Jazz team that sits starters in the fourth quarter, and we have teams just straight up resting guys after they just finished resting. So is the bigger issue load management or tanking?
You look rested.
No, you had a guy who was like coming off of the flu for like 7 days. And then when it was time for him to play, they rested him. Yep. He needs rest. That was why the DNP. It wasn't the flu. It was rest. Come on, man.
Well, there's that old saying that once you think you're well enough to play, take an extra day. I think that was Joe Girardi who was doing that. Like, he says he's 100%. I'm going to give him another day just to make sure he's 110%. Okay, sure. For me, it's tanking. They're kind of hand in hand because it's all entwined with gambling between the FanDuel and the BetMGM and all of these. Kalshi, now Giannis and Kalshi are in partnership
together. Well, what's the difference between Terry Rozier missing shots on purpose and a team losing on purpose? What's the difference?
You're being rewarded with the potential of a draft pick if you're losing on purpose. This actually benefits you.
I'm just trying to say, like, you're still fixing games.
Of course. And therein lies the problem. You're fucking with the integrity of the game. Now, whether or not you're doing it individually, like Emmanuel Classe did in baseball, in order to enrich your buddies or to enrich yourself, or as an organization, you've bought into this process all those years ago. Trust the process, right? Like, you're going to organizationally decide this is our pathway to ultimately be successful. Now, Philly got plenty of players in that process. You can't say they were totally successful because ultimately they didn't win jack shit with those players. But it's there. I think tanking is worse because you benefit from it in the long run as an organization. And both of these are unseemly. Both of them are tied to gambling, and both of them need to be eradicated. And for me, what I see is the issue in the way to do that. I mean, load management, we've been, you know, trying to figure out for years now on this podcast. But I think I figured out tanking. Rela-fucking-gation. Could you imagine if the Utah Jazz finished in dead fucking last and got sent to the G League? How embarrassing would that be for the Utah Jazz? They would never think about it again, right? The Washington Wizards have been in an organizational tank for, what, 15 years? Send them to the fucking G League. Bring up the Westchester Knicks. See what they can do. You know, bring up the Santa Cruz Lakers.
What if we just got rid of the lottery? Scared of the lottery. You're not getting any more golf balls. The team that comes in last gets the first pick.
But would it solve tanking then? Because guys would, you would still like try to lose on purpose.
And then get rid of the salary cap. Get rid of the salary cap. So there's more ways to build a team than to just build it through the draft, right? Because what's a team like the Wizards supposed to do, right? Like, they're not going to be getting free agents, right? And their only hope of getting new players is really through the draft. But if we took away the salary cap and we had that every team who came in last, you get the first pick, whatever, there's other avenues for them to build a team, right?
I got another idea. I'm going to let you finish, but I got a crazy idea just came to me. Yeah. I'm going to let you finish.
And then get rid of the conditional picks. Like, there's no, you know, if you lose your first round pick, you lose your, there's no protection. You get no protected picks anymore. Get rid of that garbage. You traded your first round pick. Guess what, Charlie? You lost your fucking first round pick. Doesn't matter what place you finish in, the team traded you finishes in. None of that shit matters. Get rid of the protected picks. That's on you, dude. Like, that's on you. I'm just spitballing here, but what do you got?
So, if we really want to shake things up and really discourage tanking, do an inverted lottery where the best teams get the lottery balls.
Okay, yeah.
So, could you imagine if the Thunder finish with the best record and then end up with the number one pick?
Yeah.
Like, that would be insane. Yeah. So, it would incentivize teams to play.
Right, because then eventually, under the new rules, if you... And I would say that you should then also get rid of the salary cap, right? Or keep the salary cap.
Keep the salary cap.
Because then, eventually, they're good players. They'll have to trade.
Right.
Or let go. Like James Harden in Oklahoma City. They had to let him go. They had a great couple of years of drafting players, evaluating talent, and building their program so rich that they had to trade a guy like James Harden because they couldn't pay him.
Right.
So that's not a bad idea either.
It's worth exploring because, you know, at this point you've thrown money at the problem. What more can you do if you're Adam Silver? Try something outside the box. You know?
And I guess you don't want something like where all the draft picks just go into all of
free
the instead of until the free agent pool, because if you're a really good team, you're not going to be able to pay a guy anyway.
True.
Right? So, and just let them sign for whatever. You can sign your guy for whatever you want. It's on you, dude. Like, and it's up to him to decide where he wants to go. You know, maybe he wants to go to the Lakers. Maybe he wants to get paid a shit ton of money to go to Minnesota Timberwolves. I don't know. But I think the problem with the NBA is it needs a vast overhaul. A lot of things need to change. It's not just one change. It's a whole bunch of changes that nobody's willing to do. You know, Adam Silver keeps saying that anything's on the table, but the integrity of your product is shit. Like, how could you, like, literally, if you were a gambler, you could make a shit ton of money right now just betting the under against the Jazz, right?
Yeah.
Or betting the Jazz to lose, just bet against them to lose. There was a thing I read where if you bet on, I forget what team it was one of the teams that's terrible, maybe it's the Kings. Like, if you bet them to lose and just kept rolling your money over and over and over during the winning streaks, you'd have a ton of money.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I just...
The product is too predictable, man. Like, you know
I'm tired of it. And then, you know what? Mark Cuban came back on saying that fans should be in favor of tanking because by tanking, your team will get better. And he talked about how they tanked to get Luka Doncic. And they got Luka Doncic and it made them better. And he got fined over $600,000. But what's $600,000 to Mark Cuban? That's the other thing. These fines are a joke. These fines are minimum at best. It doesn't hurt anybody. Taking away draft picks hurts people, but those fines don't hurt owners.
Right.
And then he was saying, it's like, you should be coming to the games for the experience. Here's the fucking experience talk again. And it's just like, well, then, Mark, cut the damn prices in half. Cut them in a quarter.
Yeah, we're not going to do that.
How about that? How about if your team is not above 500, you can't sell tickets for three times their value? You know, like that would make more sense to me. Like, the problem I have is I'm not going to go see a shit team play and then not even know who's going to be playing in the game. I just think I don't want to hear you selling me an experience. I don't go to a basketball game for an experience. I go to see high level competition. I go to see professional players play basketball. I'm not going to see the color of the jersey. I'm going to see the name on the back of the jersey to play for 48 minutes, 36 minutes, 30 minutes. I went to the St. John's game a couple weeks ago when they played Marquette. Marquette's a shit team. Marquette wasn't trying to lose. Marquette was playing hard, and they played hard all the way until the very end, the last 5 minutes of the game when it got out of hand. But I want to see top competition, and that's the only thing I'm going to pay for. You know, I hate the idea of trying to sell me an experience. I need a fucking experience. If I want an experience, I'll go to the circus. I'll go see the Globetrotters. I'll go see a Derek Carr stand-up act.
But that's the thing, though. It's gone through the wormhole here. We've gone through the looking glass. And it's like, it's entertainment now. Like, you're going to...
You're not the WWE, dude.
No, you're not. At the end of the day, it's legitimate competition.
But that seems to be the direction you're heading in. When teams are finding ways to lose, when you're benching your starters in the fourth quarter, you're pretty much predicting the outcome of the game. When WWE outcomes are predicted, right?
100%. Your thumb is totally on the scale. The problem is that I don't know how many people think wrestling is still on the up and up, whereas you're selling yourself as legitimate.
God, you look at those ticket prices. They certainly think they're on the up and up.
But that's the thing, like that, and I'm glad you mentioned it. Elimination Chamber, the next pay per view, they've drastically cutting prices. Why? Because people aren't paying through the nose.
Where is it?
Toronto. So they're it's in Chicago. It was in Toronto last year. Same thing. They had to cut prices because people aren't going to get gouged. And that's where you are, the NBA. You're gouging your fans for what? What are you giving them? You're giving them what? A little bit of athletics, fucking
wow.
10-minute last 2 minutes in the fourth quarter, and questionable refereeing, and maybe your best players will play. You know, that's not great. Like, if you're selling me on experience, like, that's a C+ experience if that's the case.
I could find something better to do with my money.
Oh, completely. Absolutely.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. We really care about what's under your hood.
Well, football is over, but there is quite a quarterback carousel, which will be starting as early as next month. Fields probably won't be back with the Jets. Tua likely to get traded or cut. Murray likely to get traded or cut. Daniel Jones likely to get traded or cut or sign a franchise tag. What happens to Anthony Richardson? 49ers have said they want to keep Mac Jones. I find it hard to believe they wouldn't listen to an offer for Mac Jones. Geno Smith, you would assume that the Raiders are going to draft a quarterback, so do they really need Geno Smith? You got Kirk Cousins, who I believe is being released. He's being cut, but he could sign back with the Falcons if they really wanted to. McCarthy has said he wants Rodgers to come back, but ultimately Rodgers gets to make that decision. Flacco, Russell Wilson, these guys are free agents. Malik Willis, high-end free agent. All these people could be on different teams next year. So which one interests you the most, and where do you see him going?
Jesus, what a list.
I heard Derek Carr is looking for a contender.
The problem is they're not looking for him.
Derek, who?
Huh? No. I'm not here. I'm not in. Fields is a backup at best. Tua is a backup at best. Murray's a backup at best. Daniel Jones had a horrific leg injury.
Hold on. Stop for a second. Tua is a backup at best. Over under 5 starts for Tua next season. You can take the over. It's okay. It's okay. You can take it.
I have to go with over.
Yeah, for sure.
But he's not. Sure. He's not good. The problem is that you have so many starters in this
he's
league.
He's not good. Who are man, not he's good. Getting a fat contract for
but
not being
good.
But
he's not good. Kyler Murray is not good. Justin Fields is not good.
Somebody
Bryce
said
Young
that Justin.
Not good.
Somebody said. Jalen Hurts is Justin Fields on a super studded team.
No, that's disrespectful to Jalen Hurts. Like, Jalen Hurts has arm talent. Jalen Hurts, no, that's so disrespectful to Jalen Hurts. Oh my god. Daniel Jones, his leg exploded. Is he coming back? The Richardson, I think the Colts have to keep him. Because their quarterback situation, it's him and Riley Leonard, and I don't trust that room. I think you need Mac Jones. You can get something for him.
Would you franchise Daniel Jones?
Well, he's a free agent. I think he just signed a 1-year contract with
him. Oh, he is.
I think so. I'm pretty sure. So he can re-sign with the Colts and have a 1-year rehab, and then be back with them. I think that would be a better deal for him. Just go to a place, rehab. Preferably not with the electromagnetic pulses, so I'm guessing San Francisco's out. And then just kind of ease your way back in. Geno's probably headed for retirement. Flacco's probably going to end up in Philip Rivers territory. They'll call him midseason. Russ is destined for the booth. Just go to the booth. Like, I think that would be better for him. He was really good. He's very insightful.
So Daniel Jones had a 1-year deal in Indianapolis. So yeah. He's not under contract.
So the best thing for him to do is re-sign with the Colts because it was a good marriage.
So the Colts are going to re-sign him, and what are they going to do with Anthony Richardson?
Play him. You're going to play him.
You're going to play. He has no choice.
It's either him or Riley Leonard. Daniel Jones is the guy when he comes back. You're keeping him in-house. It's kind of like in 2002, the Yankees signed John Lieber to a 2-year contract. No way he had Tommy John surgery. So they paid for him to be under Yankee contract in 2002 so he could rehab from injury, and then you get him for that year. So if you sign Daniel Jones to if you're comfortable with a 4-year contract, knowing that he's only going to play 3 out of those 4 years, I think you sign up for that if you're the Colts. You had something there. There was a little bit of magic there. Now, it's about sustaining that magic.
But if you're Andrew Jones, if you're Daniel Jones, you're not going to sign anything but a long-term deal. Why would you sign anything except for a long-term deal?
Well, you're on a prove it. The problem is you have this horrific leg injury and you need to reprove you can play. So that's fine. But you may want a long-term contract, but you have to prove that you're going to be healthy, number one. And number two, what the Colts saw was not a mirage. But that's where he is. He's kind of in Sam Darnold territory if Sam Darnold got hurt. The one thing, the beauty of Sam Darnold, he never got hurt. Outside of mono. Like, that was the one thing that derailed Sam. I'm looking at... Willis is intriguing. It's got to be a good fit. You know, he's got a good arm. He can move a little bit. He seemed to learn the position. and he seemed to be capable. Is that Arizona? Like, is that a team?
Is he a Matt Flynn?
He could be. That's the risk, and are you willing to take that risk? That's the question. He could be that talent, that he could be a Mac Jones, or he could be a Sam that just needed to go to the right place to get unlocked, or he could be Matt Flynn. I am more inclined to think he is in the former camp, and I think that you look at a team. Yeah, I keep going back to Arizona. Like, they desperately need a quarterback because the second baseman is not great. He's worth a flyer. But Minnesota. Does Minnesota really believe in J.J. McCarthy? Or do you want to bring in a guy like Malik Willis who's going to push J.J. McCarthy to be better or outright take his job? But, you know, your window is shrinking if you're in Minnesota. The Bears just got better. The Packers are better. The Lions, they're going to be better. They have no choice, right? They finished in last place. They're going to be pissed off, and they're going to want to be better. If you want to stay afloat, you're going to have to make a move, in my opinion, if you're in Minnesota. And Malik Willis might be that move. The Niners are inclined to keep Mac Jones. What's he worth? Like, what are teams willing to give for Mac Jones? Because he stepped in, he did the job, he kept the team afloat. Dare I say, the Niners were good under Mac Jones. So maybe that's a third, a conditional third.
Second,
something like that. If you're a team that has a couple of second round picks, Jets, you might be willing to drop one of those or trade one of those.
Would the Colts be interested in Mac Jones over Daniel Jones?
Daniel Jones suits their system better because he's more mobile. Mac is.
Is Daniel Jones going to be mobile when he comes back?
That's the question.
Mac Jones don't get hurt.
He doesn't get hurt. But that offense is tailored.
Could they use a second baseman in Indianapolis? Does it suit that guy? You want a mobile guy? He's a mobile guy.
But you need a guy who's got a little bit of mobility. That offensive line is really what fucked up Daniel Jones. Right? Because they couldn't protect him eventually. It was a matter of time.
What are you talking about? Don't they have one of the best offensive lines? Isn't Nelson still there?
Yeah.
He's like the best. He's like the best guard in the damn league.
And you had guys running free, and that's how Daniel Jones broke his leg.
Is that because he didn't call the right protection? Is that on Daniel?
It could be. But at the same time, like, it was porous. The offensive line was starting to get porous. And you have a guy like Tua, you have a guy like Kyler Murray, that doesn't favor them. So Willis could be a fit there. Jones could be a fit there. What's the market for Kirk Cousins? He's going to get paid. Wherever he ends up, he's going to get paid because Kirk Cousins is the king of the bag. But where the hell does he end up? Does he end up in Houston? Because I've also heard that CJ Stroud might get traded. Like, is that something that Houston would be willing to do? And does that make them better? I don't know. But I'm intrigued by Mac Jones. I'm intrigued by Malik Willis. And ultimately, I'm also intrigued by Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, so for me, I think it's Malik Willis. I think he has a real opportunity to go somewhere. Like, imagine Malik Willis was able to go to the Texans.
That would
imagine
be a good
that.
Move. That'd be a good move.
Wouldn't
for
that him. Be you? They trade Stroud and he goes to the Texans.
Yeah.
You know, Miami, I think the people in Miami are some of the people that are high on him. So I could see him also
go. They're from Green Bay. It makes sense.
I can see them overpaying him to go there and him playing okay. Like, just playing. Oh, cause let's be real. Miami's a teardown.
Yeah.
Right. Miami's a teardown situation. So it's all right. Let's get this quarterback on a cheap deal, you know, for us. And then we'll start to build around him.
Yeah.
I think that's where I'm thinking. I'm thinking Malik Willis goes to Miami. That's the most intriguing one to me, and that's where I actually think he'll go. The second one is Kyler Murray, the second baseman.
What?
I'm just interested in where he's going to fall. You know, are they going to cut him? Are they going to trade him? Like, what do you do with him? The same thing with Tua. What do you do with him? Do you trade him? Like, could you trade Tua to, like, the Falcons? Could you trade Tua to the Jets? Are they stupid enough to take him? You're not going to cut him, right?
No.
It's too much dead cap space. Is it a situation where you go to a team, hey, man, we'll give you one of our picks, and we'll give you Tua? Is that fair? Can you just pay this motherfucker? Right?
Yeah.
Could you see a team taking him? If you say, hey, man, give us a draft pick, too, and we'll just take him and we'll pay him. Right? And you're just looking, like, hoping for the upside. Like, if you're the Cardinals.
You have to have a very good offensive line.
Would the Cardinals trade Tua for Murray straight up? Like, okay, he sucks. Just need different places for them to play.
A mutual change of scenery.
Just a mutual change of scenery.
Well, what gives me pause is that Tua needs the world's strongest offensive line to protect him. Right? He needs, like, what the Colts used to have. And I don't know if the Cardinals' offensive line is good enough to protect him. I don't know if any offensive line in the NFL is good enough to protect Tua.
Mm-hmm.
It scares the shit out of me. Tua's career scares the shit out of me. Realistically, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole.
No, I mean, those are the three guys I'm interested in. Malik Willis, which I think will ultimately go to Miami. I'm interested to see what the Cardinals do with Kyler Murray. Do you trade him? Do you cut him? And the same thing with Tua. What do you do with him? You trade him? You cut him? Do you keep him? Do you just let him play here? Fuck it. We're not winning anyway. If you don't get Malik Willis, fuck it. Just stay here and play. Do your best. And we'll roll with whatever the outcome is.
Or do you bring in Willis anyway? Do you bring in Willis anyway and just have him compete with
you? I don't think you can have that much money tied into quarterback. You're
not paying Tyreek Hill anymore. You're not paying Bradley Chubb anymore.
Yeah, it's true, but you know, I don't see value in having two quarterbacks making that much money. Because if you think about it, then who's gonna start if you do that? Malik ain't going anywhere unless he's gonna play.
Open competition.
No, if I'm Malik Willis, I'm not signing up for that. I want to go play. I can play. I know I can play. I know I can play in this league. I'll go play for the Jets. I'll start for the Jets.
Be careful what you wish for.
I'm just saying, like, if I'm Malik Willis, I know I can play.
Yeah.
Like, we know he knows he can play now. He knows he can play. And there's five teams that need a quarterback. He can play for every single one of them. Now, if you told me Malik Willis is going to go to the Vikings, all right, I'll go compete there. I'll go beat that punk out for the job.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to go to Miami and deal with that bullshit just to fight this kid for the job. No, thank you.
And
no,
Zach
thank
Wilson.
You. He's going to be flipping burgers. My man's donezo. But another guy looking for a new team in 2026 will be Tyreek Hill. The Miami Dolphins have released Hill, who suffered a horrific ACL and dislocated knee injury last season.
Oy.
Where do you see this guy landing, assuming he plays, I guess, in 2027? I don't see him playing in 2026.
Not with that injury. No way. He'll be 33 years old, man.
Not without a cade.
Oh, my God. I mean, he's trying. Like, I'll give him credit. Like, he's trying to speed up his recovery.
He's battling.
Throwing grapefruits out.
I said, what do you think?
She's done. She's throwing grapefruits.
Lou!
Oh, my God. But you're looking at the situation. That leg was absolutely destroyed. You figure that's going
to... It was pointing in the wrong direction.
Yes. It was Tank Dell territory. It was Dak Prescott territory with his ankle. Like, it was gross. It was grim. Grim. And... even then, prior to the injury, he only had 21 receptions for less than 300 yards and only one touchdown. So his focal point in the offense was being diminished, right? It was more of the Jalen Waddle show down in Miami. Now, on something to prove, a question of about his speed. Tyreek Hill's game is built on speed. After that horrific injury, can he get back to that elite level speed that he was known for? If you're saying he can do that, you got to think about a team like the Eagles, depending on what they do with AJ Brown. You have to think a team like the Patriots. You think about everybody said the Chiefs. Now, my concern with that is he going there for Gardner Minshew? Is he really going to go there for Gardner Minshew? Because I don't think Patrick Mahomes is playing this year. Now, there are reports that say he's ahead of schedule and could be ready for week one, which is absurd. It's absolutely, seeing that injury and seeing what happened, it's absurd to me that Patrick Mahomes will be under center week one. But if it's possible, why not take a flyer on? What's one more guy, right? You have Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, Juju. You have Travis Kelce, may or may not be coming back. Like,
at this He's coming back.
Get the band back together.
He would announce it if he wasn't. He's
Pacheco,
coming.
Get the band back together for one more run. But I just don't see how he's going to be that explosive. I don't see how he's going to be the cheetah. Like, I don't see it. But, you know, there are plenty of teams that will give him a call, for sure. If only to give him a workout to see what the hell he's got. And I think that's fair. And for him, he can't go into this expecting a huge contract. I'm sorry. You're on a prove it. Like, your leg is a mess.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. It's like Daniel Jones. Your leg is a mess. You have to reprove that you can play. And once you have done that to my satisfaction, then we could talk about a long-term contract. So be prepared for a lot of one-year deals to kind of build up that equity. Because, you know, Tyreek Hill also has to build up equity in the locker room. So it's gonna be 1 year. I can't see a long-term thing, but, you know, this is where it's gonna be. And, you know, he'll have his suitors. He'll absolutely have his suitors. I don't think he's gonna have that much of an impact.
Yeah, I do think he's gonna have some suitors. I think the Raiders might be a team that's interested, which I think would be great for him. You can see the Commanders getting in on him. We can also see, I can also see like the Rams or even the Chargers getting in on him. The question is when are you going to be able to play?
Right.
And I don't think he's going to be able to play next year. So, you know, we're talking about 2027, and who knows what's going to be going on then. He's going to be 35 years old at that time. And I don't think he's going to – I think he is going to lose a step. I don't think he's going to be the player that he was. It's going to be a new ballgame for him. He's going to be a guy that's going to take the top off, like Deshaun Jackson used to do. You know, just run as fast as you can down the middle of the field, and if it's there, throw it to him. If it's not, you know, throw it to somebody else. So, yeah, I mean, that's where I see it going. And it's a shame, too. Could he go back to the Chiefs? I could certainly see that marriage happening again. I could see them getting back together. And I think that would work. And that would work well for their timetable too, because if next year is a throwaway for the Chiefs, you have Tyreek Hill and maybe a top 10 pick come 2027, and then you give it another run with Patrick Mahomes. I don't think Travis will be around for that, but I think you'll be in good shape to run it back. So, but I don't think his career is over. I do think, though, that he's going to be a different player. Yeah. He's going to be a different player once he returns.
So my thing is this. Like, one team does stick out to me, and it's not something I necessarily think or even want. But if he's healthy, I think the Giants are also a possibility. You pair him with Neighbors. You have You also have Slayton
as your three. Bad knees.
So, I think it might be worth the possibility.
You want to play in MetLife Stadium after that knee injury?
You're gonna go. The bottom line is, if you're Tyreek Hill, you're gonna go wherever the hell they're gonna pay you to go.
That's
right?
True.
Because at this point, you can't afford to be choosy. Right? You need to rebuild your career. You'd even go the fucking Ravens. Like, the Ravens still need a number one.
I don't know what they're gonna do.
Me neither. Like, can he play opposite Zay Flowers? Sure. Why not? There's a lot of room there. So, you know, there are some teams, I think, that are they haven't revealed themselves yet, but they will be in the Tyreek Hill market.
More Labs Morning Recovery is the number one alcohol recovery supplement that helps you wake up clear-headed and refreshed. Clinically proven and trusted by thousands, with 20 million plus bottles sold and a 4.9 star rating, it works. Try it risk-free. Enjoy an exclusive 25% off discount on any product using our promo code DNZ at morelabs.com. That's 25% off using the promo code DNZ. Morelabs.com.
All right, moving on to the Olympics. Team Canada and Team USA are undefeated in men's hockey and have yet to play each other so far. Can Team USA skate with Team Canada?
Sidney Crosby, Cale Makar, Connor McDavid, Marchand, Mitch Marner, Hagel, Nathan MacKinnon.
Keep going.
Seth Jarvis, Macklin Celebrini, Bo Horvat, Sam Reinhart, Sam Bennett. I haven't even scratched the surface of Team Canada yet. Like, that they're deep. Now, they're deep. We'd like to talk about deep depth on this show.
And they're an all-star team.
There it is. Like, they're the Dodgers of Olympic hockey. If you're looking at, you know, they destroyed France. It was, what, 10-2?
Yeah.
And then Tom Wilson got into a fight, because, of course, Tom Wilson got into a fight. And the guy he fought got suspended. So, for stupidity. What are you doing? That's Tom Wilson. What the fuck is wrong with you? So, all this time I thought Tom Wilson was an American. The way he plays, I thought he was an American. He's a goon. I thought he was an American. So, Faber, Gensel, Hannifin, Hellebuck and Net. I don't like Connor Hellebuck and Net. Four Nations, he did not do anything for me. The Hughes brothers, Dylan Larkin. You have a little bit of firepower in Austin Matthews. JT Miller has not been great for the Rangers. You know, he's kind of a try-hard guy. Like, we'll say he's a try-hard guy. Ottinger and Swayman are your other keepers. So you got something there. The Tkachuk brothers, Tage Thompson. Like, no. No, in short, no. In short, no. The U.S. is going to try and grit and sandpaper this thing as the U.S. is wont to do. They're going to try and play a North American style of hockey against a team that is infinitely more skilled than them. And I don't think it ends well for the U.S. They're going to keep it close because, you know, the grit and sandpaper guys will keep it close. But ultimately, I think this is Canada's to lose.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you on that. Like you said, they're a fucking all-star team. They're not skipping a beat. And like you said, the U.S., they're good players. They play very well together. They got the Bash brothers and the Tkachuks, and, you know, they're going out there giving it their all. And I do think they'll compete at a high level for two periods, but at the end of the day, what you're going up against, these guys are what hockey is all about. And they, if you've seen any of their games, they're fucking relentless. They don't stop. And it's clean hockey, man. Yeah. It's the cleanest hockey you'll see. They're out skating people. They're out shooting people. They're out hitting people. They're dumping the puck. They know exactly where everybody is supposed to be. They're not skipping a beat. And I love my country, but I know what I'm looking at. And we're a silver team. We're a silver team.
One weakness of Canada is their goaltending situation.
Right, right.
Kemper,
right.
Thompson, and Jordan Binnington.
But that's also the U.S.'s weakness, too.
Yeah. Well, of the three, I say Jake Ottinger is your best. But Ottinger's got to be the guy in there.
That's right? From Winnipeg, right?
Dallas. Hellebuck. Hellebuck has his Vezina. He was not. I did not care for what he did and how he played in the Four Nations. So, for me, Jake Ottinger is the guy. And I would say that between Swayman and Hellebuck, Hellebuck would be my backup. I'm just not a fan of Jeremy Swayman. But I think good luck trying to get a shot through to even get Kemper, Thompson, and Binnington to save it. This team is loaded. And they have veteran leadership. You have Colton Parayko. You have Drew Doughty. You have guys on this team.
Doughty.
Drew Doughty's a fucking beast. It's going to be a clash of titans. We know this. We've seen it. This time, though, you're not going to be able to get the line brawl that you got at the beginning of Four Nations. That's not happening. So you're going to have to play. If you're the U.S., you got to play up and up with them. So what does that mean? You got to put them square in the chest into the boards. So you got to play clean. You got to play fast. You got to play relentless. And you have to clog up the passing lanes. You have to clear out in front of the net and just hold your position. Don't chase. Because they also have the most creative guys in addition to the most skilled guys. So it's going to be a test. It's going to be an absolute test. One that I think the U.S., the U.S. will be accountable. They will hold themselves well. But I'm with you. I think if this is the gold medal game, I think the U.S. ends up with the silver.
Elevate your coffee routine with Strong Coffee Company's Black Instant Blend and Lattes. Both feature organic coffee, protein, MCTs, and adaptogens for sustained energy and mental clarity. You can use our discount, DANDZ, and you can use that code at strongcoffeecompany.com.
Time to put some grades in. Welcome to the classroom.
All right, boys and girls, take out a piece of paper and a pen. Have a seat. It's time to come into the classroom. We have some statements, and Dee and I will give you letter grades for those statements. And if you want to suggest some statements for us to grade, hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG @faderoutpodcast. You can drop us a line on X @faderoutdnz as well. Statement number one, grade NBA All-Star Weekend.
I give it a B. I mean, the games were okay. I'm not a fan of the 12 minute, kind of speed bursts of a game. And the last game was terrible. The 3-point shooting contest. you had Dame Lillard, who's currently hurt and recovering from an Achilles injury, come in and win the fucking 3-point shooting contest. A guy who hasn't played a game all year came in and beat Devin Booker in the 3-point fucking contest to the point where now Devin Booker is being investigated because he missed his last two shots.
They think he missed him on purpose. How fucking terrible is that?
Just what the NBA needed.
That's where we fucking are with this bullshit. And the dunk contest, I mean, we've seen it all. We've seen it all. There's no other dunks to be done. I can't even find the guy's name here, but the guy from the Heat won the dunk contest. It's like, all right, great. I'd rather see Matt McClung back in there, who specifically stopped dunking because that's all they were asking him to come and do. So yeah, I mean, I give it a B, but really, it needs a lot. You can't have people coming off their couch and winning the fucking skills competitions. That doesn't look very good.
I mean, you also can't have people openly tank the skills competition and get disqualified. So, like, the NBA has a lot going on there. Let's go. So, Keyshawn Johnson is the
That's
the
guy, his name.
Yeah. Not Keyshawn Johnson. Keyshawn Johnson.
Yes.
So, yes. You had... He beat out Carter Bryant in the finals because Carter Bryant was a little too ambitious. Bricked his
Put
first
your hand
two.
Up if you had that one.
Yeah, you know, not exactly Spud Webb. Not exactly Spud Webb. You had Jace Richardson who tried a 360 and just ate it. Like that was a brutal landing. Hey, kudos to him; he finished. But a lot of derivative, a lot of boring dunks, a lot of missing. That gives me a C minus. The 3-point contest, where a dude walked off his couch, like you said, walked off the street, essentially. Yes, he's training with the Blazers. Yes, he's
75th anniversary team.
Take a drink. So he walked in against guys who were in game shape, couldn't get 2 inches off the ground. I'm looking at it. He's just like, it's like playing beer pong. Like, you know, he's just like totally flat-footed. Maybe a little bit of lift. And he's just draining them like it's nothing. So, just for that, a C. So you have a C minus, you have a C, and the game is a B. We've already discussed that. So you have a C minus, a C, and a B. That averages out to a C plus. You got some work to do. Like, there are moments of entertainment, and then other times where it's like, what the fuck are we doing here? What are you doing?
What the fuck am I paying you for?
Right. Now, I get Mac McClung not wanting to be there anymore because he's just the dunk guy. But hey, it's better than being, what, the best player in the G League. Are people really going to, like, Fort Wayne, Indiana to see you? Are people going to Santa Cruz, California?
Like, I went to see him.
Well, he was on... when he was at the Westchester Knicks?
Windy Bulls, baby.
Yeah, the Windy City Bulls.
He played the Westchester Knicks a couple weeks ago. It was there. It's great.
But that's the thing. He's just another guy in the G League. Here, he's actually an attraction. Kind of almost like Jason Williams. Like you have that skill level. Use it. You have a platform for it. Embrace it. That's who you are, Mac. Embrace who you are. So, a C plus for me when you take everything into account. Statement number two. Steve Cohen saying the New York Mets will never, ever have a captain as long as he owns the team.
Why? Why say this? Why say this? Why? Why? I just don't think it's true. I don't think it's necessary. I don't know why he said it. I give him an F. I think every team needs a captain. You know, even the Yankees have a captain.
Yes, they do.
Every team needs a captain. You don't got to put the C on his jersey, but every team needs a captain. And by saying that, never? Never, Steve? Really? Yeah, I think it's a fail. I'm giving him an F.
I'm with you. As a Met fan, I don't care. It's a non-story. Who gives a shit. Yes, David Wright was the captain. John Franco was the captain. Who fucking cares? It's not like you have to have it designated on your chest like the NHL. And it's more about what you do behind closed doors, in the locker room, in the clubhouse, than wearing that on your sleeve or on your chest, right? How do you get players to all move in the same direction? This is an organization that has seemed rather inept when it comes to that. Since David Wright retired, right? You've had multiple accounts of friction between Nimmo and Lindor, McNeil and Lindor, Soto and Lindor, Alonso, who knows? He didn't see Alonso and Stearns. There's a lot of shit going on. There's a lot of friction in the Mets organization right now. And to go out and say that is, it's just a distraction. Much like Steve Cohen saying he could spend like the Dodgers if he chose to. This is a guy who has also said that he is disappointed that the Mets have not won. Well, you're partly to blame for that. As the owner, you're partly to blame for that. So, how are you going to make this team better? You think you've done it, right? You jettisoned all the old guys. You brought in all these new guys. We're going to find out. But I get that it's just to take the heat off of the team and off of the players. Like, you're going out there like Steinbrenner. I'll take the slings and arrows. You guys just play. But the dumbest shit. It's over the dumbest shit. Complete and total F for Uncle Steve. Just unnecessary. Those are our grades. What are yours? Hit us up. FadeRouteMail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG at FadeRoutePodcast. Drop us a line on X at FadeRouteDNZ and let us know what you want us to grade and what your grades are for our topics. But for now, class dismissed.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much. With FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and you vote. And you vote, you vote, you vote. And the winner of this vote gets a shout out in this year's show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, Dee?
It better be Derek Carr.
It was Derek motherfucking Carr. My man.
My man.
The funniest man alive.
Stand up comedian Derek Carr. Yeah. I'll be here all night. Be sure you tip your waitress.
Try the veal. It's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Still waiting for that situation. Still waiting for that phone call. But that's last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Legend Superstar of the Week?
Damn, that's it's a very good question. Where's my list here? All right, Legend Superstar of the Week. Here I go. First up, I've got the Syracuse men's basketball team. Man. They just got drummed by Duke. I want to get this right here. 101-64. with Carmelo Anthony in the stands watching his son get just slacked down in Durham. Syracuse men's basketball team. You are my legend star of the week. Number two, I've got wide receiver, or former wide receiver of the Miami Dolphins, Tyreek Hill, once dubbed the Cheetah, the most feared wide receiver in the league. Could not win in Miami, and now his days with the Dolphins are over. He's been cut after three seasons, couldn't win there, and he is now looking for a job. Tyreek Hill, you are my legend superstar of the week. Number three, I've got Super Bowl champion and Super Bowl MVP, Kenneth Walker III. The Super Bowl MVP will not be given the contract extension by the Seahawks, will not be re-signed. He will be a free agent after winning the MVP, after winning his team the Super Bowl. Their thank you is, we'll see you later, Charlie. Kenneth Walker, you are my latest superstar of the week. What do you got?
Adios, muchacho.
Adios, muchacho.
Makes you wonder, if the Jets do not use their franchise tag on Breece Hall, makes you wonder if he ends up in Seattle.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Makes you wonder. I'm going to start with Woody Johnson. Report indicates that the grades for NFL ownership and NFL teams were quietly fizzled out, quietly done away with because of one Mr. Woody Johnson. Not because of all the failing grades around him in terms of the clubhouse, strength and conditioning, nutrition, and so on and so forth. Ownership got an F. So under the auspices of anonymity, players were allowed to speak their mind, and they did not hold back against Woody Johnson. F for fuck this place. That is what F stood for. So instead of looking inward and saying, hey, maybe I need to change, Woody just went to Roger Goodell and said, hey, Rog, can we get rid of these report cards?
That'd be great.
That'd be fantastic. If you can do that, that'd be
great. You help me out?
Please, pretty please with sugar on top. Woody Johnson, you thin-skinned son of a bitch. You are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, the Hartford Wolfpack. For those of you that don't know, the Hartford Wolfpack is the AHL affiliate of the New York Rangers. It hasn't been going well for Hartford, much like it hasn't been going well for the New York Rangers. The most recent game, Hartford got their asses kicked. It was not great. 9-0 was the score. You heard that right. You lost 9-0. 9-0. Absolutely atrocious. So nothing on the big club. Nothing on the minor league club. Okay. Good to know. Hartford Wolfpack, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And then number three. You kind of have to go with Tony Clark resigning in disgrace after multiple investigations, multiple allegations, and just a bad look all the way around. You know, charges of nepotism, charges of corruption. This is how it ends. On the precipice of the biggest fight in Major League Baseball labor relations to date. Tony Clark, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our Instagram poll at Fade Route Podcast. Go to our X account at Fade Route DNZ and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.